This video podcast is brought to you by Loma Linda University Campus Ministries in association with Global Gateway Studios.
It is well with my soul. It's hard to say that when you know you have midterms next week. It is well with my soul. It's hard to say that when you know you've procrastinated yet once more to do that assignment. It is well with my soul. This morning, as I heard D.P. Harris describe me as a worrier, I was making a lot of noise in the seat going, no, no. But then I remembered, as he always tells me, that's his perception of me. And I'm glad he ended by saying that I take it to the Lord. This quarter, we have been talking about and I hope you've caught it. So if you haven't, this morning I'm going to reiterate for you. We have wanted, through our messages this quarter, to talk to you about how to ground and grow your faith while trying to be amazing students and fathers and husbands and wives and boyfriends and sisters and mothers and, like, get everybody? How do you ground your faith? How do you stay focused? How do you grow? And last week, Pastor Terry talked about the importance of Scripture not being something that's sitting on a shelf that's dusty, not something that beats you up, but something that invites you to understand who God is. And this morning, I would like to talk to you about worship. I want to talk to you about worship. And if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, if you want to use the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1582. But John chapter 4. And we are going to be looking specifically at verse 26, John chapter 4. But before we get to verse 26, I want us to do a little reading. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It would be helpful if I had it ready. Here we go. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked me, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. He is who was called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." We're going to spend the rest of our time talking under the subject, worship to serve. Worship to serve. Can we pray together? Loving Father, thank you for the reminder this morning that regardless of what's going on around us, we can declare it as well with our soul. Why? Because you make it well. And for many under the sound of my voice, Lord God, they are wrestling with the things that will come as soon as time is up here. But my prayer right now is that you will arrest our attention and that your Holy Spirit will do its work and that you would deposit your word deep in our hearts, that you would plant seeds that will grow, that only you can grow, so that when we have finished this time together, we will understand what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus has a conversation with a woman, and typically, he ought to know better. He is a Jewish man, single, and this is a woman in the middle of the day at a well, coming to get water. Men and women just don't have casual conversations. It's not like today. We can just say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? That's not how men and women interacted in his time, but he interacts with this woman. And he has an interesting theological conversation with this woman. During a time when men did not believe that women were capable of having theological conversations, but we're not going to talk about that. Jesus is simply having a conversation with this woman, which is deeply theological, about worship. Can I do a quick unscientific poll? Yeah. All right? You gave me permission. So I don't have to go to the board to get permission, right? Is that what you have to do, the IRB? Is that what it's called? Yeah? So you've given me permission. How many of you think worship is private? Raise your hand. So that means everybody else thinks worship is not private. That was a poor question, huh? Is that what it is? It's a poor question, all the researchers in the room? Is it a poor question? Work with me. How many of you think worship is private? It's a private affair. Wave your hand, I need to see. Okay, so that everybody else thinks worship is... How many of you think worship is not a private affair? How many of you don't care? How many of you have no opinion? All of you just don't plan to participate. Is that what this is? You realize that we're in this together. Somebody said both. I didn't even give that option, so we'll go with that. How many think it's both private and... Oh, thank you. Poor question. You have permission to help me with the others. How many of you think worship is about music? How many of you think worship is only about music? Oh, okay. How many of you think worship can be defined by the tempo or style of a song? Some of you are like, I don't know if I want to put my hand up. Okay. How many of you think worship is about the instruments that are used? Huh, interesting. How many of you think worship is limited to time and space? Okay. My questions were really that bad? Submitted a definition of worship to you. Worship is the reverent love and devotion accorded to a deity, an idol, or a sacred object. Worship could be defined as the ceremonies or prayers or other religious forms by which this love is expressed. Worship could be defined as ardent devotion or adoration. Jesus has this interesting conversation with this woman in the middle of the hot desert sun, talking to her about worship. The conversation starts off about thirsting and water, and he doesn't have anything to pull the water from, and she gets pulled in, because Jesus is a great storyteller. He's a great engager of people. And he gets down to the heart of things, because while she is here and doesn't want to talk about her personal life, because he did bring up the fact that she had been married a couple of times, and that the dude that she had at home was not her husband, that was not his primary conversation. She segues to worship. And Jesus goes with her. And she declares that worship has to occur in a place. And that's where she is. This well is an important well. It's the well of their father Jacob. It was his well. And she says, your people believe it needs to be in Jerusalem. And Jesus says, no. God is spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is seeking for worshipers. God is looking for worshipers. This reminds me of the Judeo-Christian account of creation. The Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He created man and woman. And on the seventh day, he rested. The Bible tells us that he spent time with man and woman, face-to-face communion and relationship, until sin came into the world. Once sin came, God said, you can't live here anymore. That's a consequence of disobedience. But he says, look, you're not going to always be separated from me. And if you follow the story of Adam and Eve and their children, and you wade through all the begats and the begats and the begats, you discover that they are stuck in Israel, in Egypt. But even as they are in Egypt, God raises up a deliverer in the form of Moses, and Moses brings them out. And when he brings them out of Egypt, he brings them into a desert, and he says the following in Exodus 25, help them build a sanctuary so I can live among them. We were created for relationship. We were created for worship. God put in each and every one of us this longing, this desire, and many of us have filled that space with lots of things. God is asking his people, all through the Old Testament, come, let us be in relationship. And when you are in relationship with me, I will bless you. I will reveal to all the nations around you just how powerful and awesome I am. Just come, let's be in relationship. Well, if you've read the history, you know that they were not consistent. They rejected God, created their own gods. Even went as far as saying, you know what, while you want a relationship with us, God, face to face, and you want to be in the midst of us, we want a king. Give us a king. And it seemed that they got further and further and further apart. But the promise that God had made from the very beginning when sin entered the world was that he would again come and inhabit space and time. And the Bible tells us that Jesus' name, one translation of it, one meaning of it is Emmanuel, which is God with us. So it is God with us who shows up at the well in space and time for a conversation for the Samaritan woman. And he talks to her about God desiring us to be worshipers. A worshiper in the Bible is David. The Bible affords him this interesting title. God actually said it about him. He said that David was a man after God's own heart. David was first a shepherd. Then he was a warrior. He was a singer, songwriter, musician, because he wrote songs and psalms. He played the harp. There's even one record of him dancing. Yeah, he danced before the Lord. Got in trouble with everybody because they didn't understand why he was so excited. He was also a warrior and eventually became king. But God said, as imperfect as David was, because yes, I remember what he did with Bathsheba. I know what he didn't do with his children when they were disobedient. I know, you know. But God still says that David was a man after his heart. And if you read through Kings and Chronicles, which I've been doing, I'm trying to read through the Bible in 90 days, and boy, it's a formidable task. But if you read through Kings, you keep hearing, and this king was worse than this other king. And there was no other king ever found who was just like David. So he stands up as this pillar for us as a worshiper. If you read in the book of Psalms, you will see the things he's declared about God. What did David know? Why was David a worshiper? Because David had relationship with God. It blows my mind. Young men and women, faculty, students, and staff. How it is that we want to know God, but we don't want to have a relationship with God. I don't understand how we want to know God and the will of God and obey God and not spend time with God. I don't understand how we want to have the favor of God, but we won't linger in the presence of God. You are in graduate school. And I am very familiar with what that experience is like. And I happened to go to school most of my life where I had to go to worship. It wasn't voluntary. Even when you signed the paper and said, yes, I want to go to worship, Once you saw your syllabus and your curriculum, your syllabus, the books, the things you had to do, you thought, that 50 minutes that they've set apart on Wednesday morning, I could use it much better. Amen, floors and walls. It's evident. You walk in with your books, your laptops. It is dark. You have your phones out, and you're trying to read and study. You create study groups and sections in the building. It is obvious that for you, this 15 minutes is a waste of time. But I want to ask you something. How can you go serve God when you don't know God? Because Loma Linda University exists to prepare you and I to go serve humanity. You can't serve in his name and on his behalf if you don't understand who he is. We worship in order to serve. And while it is true that worship could be divided into two segments, corporate and private, we often rely on the corporate worship to suffice us when it's the opposite. Our personal private worship is what informs us so that when we come to the corporate experience, we overflow. Are you hearing me? So you sacrifice this 50 minutes. If the sermon or the message is good, you might close your books, turn off your phones. I was in school, y'all. I know the tricks. And you walk away that moment. But I want to say to you this morning, if you would be willing to prepare for worship, you would have a different experience when you go to serve others. What do I mean? If God has created a space within us to worship him, and God wants to be in a face-to-face relationship with us, and he invites us daily, then we ought to make the time. How many hours are in a day? Hello? 24 hours in a day. If you gave him one of your 24 hours in a day, would you suffer? Come on, talk to me. Would you? Okay. So if you spent 1 hour a day, and look, you don't have to spend the 1 hour all at once, do you? Do you? Talk to me, do you? Could we give him a half an hour in the morning? Yes. Would that work? Could we give him a half an hour at the end? Would that work? Yes. Okay. What if we gave him 15 in the morning, 15 mid-morning, 15 mid-afternoon, and 15 at the end? How would that work? Would that work? Could that work too? Yeah? If we were willing to give him 1/24th, would that be the fraction, Dr. Harris? 1/24th of our days. We would still have 23 out of 24 hours to eat, sleep, and study. Amen? Amen only means you agree with me. Just that statement, just in case you don't understand what amen means. You're not making a commitment. You're just simply saying that what you just said makes sense. Amen? Amen? So the 23 hours that you have left, you still need to sleep. And let's be real, most of you are pretty young. You all aren't sleeping 8 hours. Correct? Amen. You're not sleeping 8 hours, right? And here's your argument. Your argument is simply this: come on, Pastor, you can't possibly want me to give you 1 hour. Do you know how much I have to study? And here's what I want to say to you. You can't afford not to give him at least an hour a day. He has made your mind. He knows what you understand. And if you are willing to allow him to ground you in his word, to reveal to you who he is, to draw you into peace. When you go into that exam that you gave up that hour that day for, he's going to show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Amen. Few people know what I'm talking about. I hate standardized exams. And yes, I'm using the word hate. I despise them. I don't like them. I think they're unfair to submit people to that process. However, I want y'all to take your exams because I need to know that you know your stuff so that you don't get in trouble. Amen? so that you're a good practitioner of your craft. There have been many exams that I have taken, and I have gone in and I said, Lord Jesus, this exam feels like it is skewed against me. I haven't had the time that I wanted to study. Lord, help. And I've passed. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know what your DAT scores were. You know what your MCAT scores. Come on, why are you acting like I'm crazy? You know how much time you put in, and yet you got here. And now that you're here, you gripe about the 50 minutes on a Wednesday morning that we have set aside for us to come together as a community to worship, so that we can be reminded why we go and serve. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that simply means we come transparent, honest, open, and we go, Jesus, you know I would rather be studying for that Dr. Werner's test. What's that class y'all do? What's that, the PDX? I know you all those first years, I can tell when they've come from Dr. Werner. I know all the PT students, because school started January 1, January 2, they're like this. They're in the council's pavilion. I know the dental students, they're walking around like, oh man, if I look in somebody else's mouth one more time. I've heard about the people in the labs who you keep doing billiard experiments over and over and over again, you're not getting anywhere. This is what I want to say to you. Give God his time first in your personal daily experience and watch him do amazing things in you and through you. Would you prepare for this moment every week? It's an opportunity for us to come together and to say to God, we recognize that if we're going to go serve in your name, we as a community must spend time in your name. If God is spirit, those of us who worship him must come to him prepared to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can't invite someone else to do that if you yourself have never done it. So my time is far spent. But could we worship for a minute before we leave? You know, I was just being polite. Two texts I want to ask you to look at as I invite you into this worship moment. One is John 15, verse 13, which is one of my favorite texts. And it says, John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. Greater love has no one than this, than one who's laying down his life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know his master's doing, but I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. I am a friend of God. Me. In the times when I'm inconsistent, in the times when I'm mean-spirited, in the times when I just don't want to do what's right, God says, you are my friend. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If I spend time with God and I read those words, what is going to be my response? Thank you. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you while I was in the midst of committing sin for dying on a cross for me. Thank you while I have ignored your callings and your wooings and your drawings, while you have shown me the way to go, for continuing to pursue me and call me back. God, thank you for trusting me to represent you. And then we might do the following. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be gracious God. You invite us to worship you in spirit and truth. You invite us to allow you to inhabit the space that you have created in us for you to dwell. In every one of us, under the sound of my voice, Lord God, we struggle with our responsibilities and the things we need to do, our assignments, and we get even focused so much on serving you that we don't spend the time with you so that you can prepare us to go serve. It is my prayer, Lord God, that what we've talked about this morning, you would use it, Lord God, as the beginning steps of us really looking at our priorities. Because it would be a shame for us to be a university set aside to prepare men and women to serve, and we go serve in our own strength and not yours. Your sons and daughters need you to call them. Call them every day, Lord, and say, spend some time with me, and help them to do it not just in the morning, help them to do it all day. So that when we gather together once a week as a community to worship, that we don't come in dragging ourselves, but we come in with expectation to hear from the one who has called us friend, the one who has loved us first, so that we can then go out and serve in his name. This is my prayer. Amen.